Welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. On today's episode, we are breaking down one of the most popular but also misunderstood concepts in nutrition, and that is fasted cardio. In this episode, we break down what fasted cardio is, the science behind it, the pros and cons of fasted cardio, as well as where it fits into your entire fitness and health routine. It's a really interesting podcast, so listen up. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. I am Loz Nash, the expert dietitian, and I'm joined today by the host, Geordie Sullivan, the fight dietitian. Geordie, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome back for another episode together.
Good morning, good afternoon. We're in the time matrix. Every time we do these episodes, I'm in the afternoon, you're in the morning. So it's like a glitch in the time zone matrix.
I know. I just need to start saying good day. How's everyone going? Like, just not classify morning or afternoon. But anyway, what we're talking about today, I feel like it's been on your mind, Geordie. We just mentioned off air. I said clearly something's been going on because you mentioned it twice in a week. But today we're going to be talking about one of the most talked about, fantasized, and probably misunderstood concepts in nutrition, and that is fasted cardio. So I don't know what it is about fasted cardio, but I don't really like the term. I mean, we're going to talk about why it's good, why it's bad, you know, kind of break it down so people actually understand what it is. But to me, fasted cardio just kind of triggers thoughts of, you know, restrictive eating and body dysmorphia and all of those things. So it's, you know, it's an interesting topic. And I think for anyone tuning in that maybe does it or is told to do it, or actually just has no idea, this is a good podcast episode for you to actually understand and form your own idea about if fasted cardio is going to be right for you.
Yeah, I'm a bit neutral on it. I don't necessarily love it, but I don't necessarily hate it. There is time and place where fasted cardio can be useful, and there's a time and place where it's absolutely not necessary and people shouldn't do it. What really gets me about it, and like I was saying off air, and why I want to talk about it, is just it's a topic I get asked so much. And no matter how many times I seem to give an answer about it, people still seem to have some confusion. So that's what I want to go over in this podcast is let's just clear up what fasted cardio is, what the intended purpose of doing it is, and then what are the pros and cons? When you weigh them up, what are the pros and cons? And then we'll give you guys some advice, some practical advice from our own training and then our own work with a plethora of different athletes in heaps of different sports, whether or not we recommend them to do fasted cardio. And hopefully that will clear some of the confusion that we evidently keep seeing, at least within our community.
I think nutrition misinformation is almost theme of the week. Hey, I was extremely triggered on social media, and if you follow me, I just did that post about gluten-free. But unfortunately, there is just so much information out there, whether it's correct, it's not correct, but it ultimately confuses people. You don't understand if something's good for you or bad for you. And for some reason, we all have this obsession with fasting, fasted, you know, are we intermittent fasting? Are we doing cardio fasted? It just seems to be this obsession that people have. But yes, let's break it down. So ultimately, let's start with what is fasted cardio for those of you who maybe don't know what it is. Ultimately, fasted cardio is literally performing cardiovascular exercise. So that could be, you know, you're running, biking, walking, rowing, surfing, without having eaten or drank anything that will provide you energy in the form of calories. So you can wake up and you can have some water or some black coffee or maybe some, you know, calorie-free electrolyte drink or something like that, and do fasted cardio. However, you can't have, say, a long bike with a dash of, you know, cream or a caramel latte and then go and train. That defeats the purpose of being fasted, and as such, you're not training fasted. However, what people think fasted cardio is this magical, quick, fast track, you know, kind of hack to lose fat and drop body weight. And we'll go over why that's the conception, but just kind of consolidating what fasted cardio is versus, you know, the hype that it gets around it. And most people will do fasted cardio in the morning before eating anything because we just fast overnight while we're sleeping. We're not eating or drinking anything. So naturally, our body fasts as well. And then people wake up and go straight to training as such are doing fasted cardio. And I think, you know, I kind of mentioned it as a pro to talk about later, but, you know, a lot of people do exercise in the morning fasted purely because one, they don't have time to eat. Two, they don't like eating before training. Or three, you know, maybe it makes them feel sick. So there definitely, as you said, Geordie, is a time and a place for fasted cardio. Some people really just don't want or need food before training, and that's okay. But you are allowed to eat and or drink before exercise. You don't have to do fasted cardio for it to be effective.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's the first thing I want to take up here is that it's completely fine to not eat in the morning, especially if you're just I want to say hobbyist athlete, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Is their sport, but it's probably not, but it's probably not your job, or you're not a semi-professional. And that's completely fine, because that's probably 95% of us, right? We're hobbyist athletes. And if you don't need to get ready for a competition, or you are getting ready for a competition, you're just doing it for fun, by all means, do fasted cardio in the morning. Like, if you don't like eating, there's no point ruining your mental output and that thing that you really enjoy by being sick all the time. So whatever. Where I take a lot of stake with this is when people come to me and they say, I'm doing fasted cardio to either one, improve my performance, or two, to lose more body fat. And that's where we really need to discuss this, because even then, if it's a hobbyist athlete, I can kind of go, yeah, whatever. If that's what you think, then go and do that. When we're talking about the more serious athlete that does want to get competitive advantage, that does want to improve their performance, that wants to become a better athlete, that's where we really need to define these terms of, you know, what is fat burning? What is fat oxidation? How do we use substrate during exercise? So I'll let you get into all of that good stuff, Loz.
Yeah, thanks, Geordie. So the reason why fasted cardio and intermittent fasting, all those things, but specifically fasted cardio, receives so much hype is the association that people form between fasted cardio and fat burning or fat loss. And aerobic exercise, so for example, running, as we've just mentioned, performed in a fasted state has been considered a strategy to increase fat oxidation during exercise. However, this is where people get things mixed up. Fat oxidation doesn't mean losing fat necessarily. Fat oxidation is the process of our body breaking down stored fat molecules to produce energy that we can then use to exercise or to get out of bed in the morning or to walk to the fridge. Because remembering that no matter what we do, our body does require energy. So fat oxidation, which can be increased from fasted cardio, is ultimately just the burning of fat for energy. So we're not necessarily just magically losing fat. So it's really obviously important for people to understand that. And this is just simply a metabolic process that our body would do, whether it's carbs or fat. If you followed us for a while, you'll know that we always talk about carbohydrates before training because it gets burned for fuel. And fat and carbohydrates are our body's predominant sources of fuel for exercise. But this is where we then move into, okay, which system here is kind of kicking into place, and am I burning fat or am I burning carbohydrates? Because if we are burning carbohydrates or fat during exercise, this is ultimately going to be dictated by the intensity that we're training at, the duration, how long are we training for, and also the type of training that we're doing. So it has been shown that fat oxidation, as opposed to the use of carbohydrates as an energy source, tends to be higher during low to moderate exercise. So for example, around 60 to 65% of your VO2 max. If you're someone that follows a training program or is quite on top of this thing, you'll probably hear of it as, you know, like the low intensity, like a low aerobic, or maybe the low intensity steady state or fat burning zone, depending where you're kind of looking. And that's because when we are exercising at a slower intensity, our body has more time to convert fat into energy because it is a more time intensive process than burning carbohydrates for energy. However, once we continue exercising or the intensity ramps up, and we start training at a VO2 max higher than above 65-70%, our metabolism shifts over to start burning carbohydrates in the form of stored glycogen or circulating blood glucose from foods that we've just recently eaten. So again, just to summarize that paragraph, when we're exercising at lower, longer intensities, our body can use fat as energy, break it down because we've got a bit more time. We've also got oxygen on board. And then as the intensity kicks up, our body shifts over to burning carbohydrates for energy because that is more effective and more efficient in terms of producing quick energy. Geordie, do you want to butt in?
Yeah, I think that's an important concept to understand. We've spoken about it a lot. Obviously, low intensity exercise, we're going to be using predominantly fat to fuel that. And as we go above 65% of our VO2 max, like Loz said, we're going to be using predominantly carbohydrates. Keep in mind, we're always using protein, carbs, and fats. It's just in different amounts. And I see this all the time in the gym, and this is often a discussion I have. Like, say people will go into the gym and then they say they get on an elliptical or they get on a cardio equipment, and then they'll just walk for an hour and they'll do it in their low intensity state. And they always say, yes, I'm doing fat burning exercise. And you go, what you're doing is you're doing exercise in a zone where you're predominantly using fat oxidation to provide energy for that exercise. But what you need to remember that if you're doing that with the goal of losing body fat, the one thing that determines what you're going to lose body fat or not is your overall state of energy balance, whether you're in a calorie deficit or whether you're in maintenance or whether you're in surplus. So you can go there and you can be doing your hour long, low intensity, steady state fat oxidation exercise. But by the end of the day, you eat too much food and then you're out of a calorie deficit and you're not going to lose any body fat. So then we get into this argument of, okay, well, what if I'm in a calorie deficit and then I do this exercise? Is that going to be more beneficial to losing more body fat? And then what I say to the clients is no, because you're already in the calorie deficit. That may be beneficial. That may be beneficial if you're completely wrecked from being in that calorie deficit and the only exercise you can do is that low intensity. And then I would encourage you to look at your training nutrition principles. But doing that fasted cardio or being in that fat oxidation state does not necessarily mean your body is going to be losing more body fat. And a big reason, there's two things you need to understand about this, and I'll try and make this as simple as possible. There's one concept called fat balance, just like we have carb, just like we have energy balance throughout the day where we eat calories and then we burn calories. And then over the 24-hour period, we're either in a maintenance or in a deficit. It's the exact same for our fat balance in our body. Our body will bring in and it'll break down food that we eat and store that fat away in our adipose tissue, and it'll store it away. And that's positive fat balance that we're adding to the positive side. And then it'll also release it when we need it. And what we see with people who do this fasted cardio in the morning, we see that they actually do burn more fat. Obviously, they're doing the fat oxidation. So they increase the fat oxidation, the burning of fat out of those fat tissues. But then throughout the day, we actually see later on that that decreases because they had that higher amount of burning in the morning. Your body likes to be balanced. So it decreases the amount of fat that you would be releasing out anyway later in the day. So at the end of the day, you end up back in zero. And what we usually see in studies and what's pretty well established is that when you do fed exercise in the morning, that fat balance is actually greater. We see more release in that fat balance equation when you do this exercise in a fed state, despite not doing and utilizing that fat oxidation during the fasted cardio. So hopefully I went through that slow enough that that makes sense, that, you know, it's somewhat counterintuitive because you're in this fat burning zone. You think, oh, I must be burning all this fat. It's just not how our body works, because the main dictator of what's making our body release that fat is how many calories we're having. So that's the first thing you really, really have to understand, is that our fat balance and fat oxidation does not always mean more fat loss. The second thing is that people will often say, I want to do this fat burning or fat burning exercise to get better at burning fat. And you go, well, that also makes sense, right? Because we're in this low intensity, steady state. So we're kind of doing more. If I do more of that fat oxidation, I'm probably going to get better. And that is true to an extent. But overall training effect for a lot of individuals, especially when you're not a top level elite person, when you're getting up and you're moving towards that training state, the overall impact of training on your metabolism is to make you a better fat burner. That's just a consequence of pretty much any type of training you're going to do. Your body's going to get more efficient at burning fat. And that doesn't matter if you're doing that training fasted, doesn't matter if you're doing it fed. Just the overall training adaptation is you're going to get better at burning fat. So this is why I get a little bit not arced up when we talk about fasted cardio. It has its time and place. I just think people put so much importance or false importance on these two attributes that probably are grossly overstated for what the impact of fasted cardio actually has.
I think that's a really good explanation, Jordy, and something that a lot of people wouldn't understand. And having that knowledge really helps you to make a better informed decision about, you know, if things such as fasted cardio are right for you, and really helps you to have a better understanding of what's going on inside the body. And kind of even going back a tiny bit, you know, it's like you mentioned, you know, people could be in this fat burning state, but then still overeat at the end of the day and they're not going to lose weight. And it comes back to that whole thing of, you know, people will be so hyper focused on one aspect, but not their diet, training, lifestyle as a whole. And it's where these types of things, okay, it's all well intentioned that you're in a fat burning zone, but if you're also not taking the other steps to, say, achieve your fat or weight loss goals, you know, this thing just in isolation probably isn't going to be very effective. So taking a step back and thinking, okay, well, yep, I love doing fasted cardio. Is it actually helping me to achieve my goals or not? Not too sure, because as we, you know, a few podcasts ago as well, we spoke about calorie deficits and that language. And at the end of the day, you just can't argue with the science that the way, best way to lose weight is by being in a calorie deficit. And you're right, you know, just doing exercise itself is a great way to be a good fat burner. You know, we encourage people to exercise. And as well, if you're doing strength and resistance training, you're increasing your lean muscle mass. Having more metabolically active tissue is also going to help with your weight loss and your body recomposition goals. So again, it's taking that step back and not just this one thing in isolation, which I think a lot of people will have that approach of, okay, the rest of my day is absolute shambles, but I'm doing my fasted cardio, so I'm on track to losing weight. It's the whole picture, I think. And that's where hopefully this podcast can help people realize, okay, you know what, maybe I should probably be doing some other things before I try and prioritize my fasted cardio.
Yeah, that's so spot on, because the one thing where I give leeway to fasted cardio and things like this is only when the person takes a step back and looks at the whole picture. Because if you take that example I used earlier of the person who's walking on the elliptical in that low intensity steady state, say they're doing it for an hour, they'll maybe burn their calorie burn in that fat burning zone will only be maybe 300, 400, maybe 500 calories if they're quite unfit and their heart rate goes up. 300, 400 calories in the totality of your total daily energy expenditure is probably around 10 to 15%, probably around there. So it's not really contributing that much to your total calorie output. Whereas where if someone's stepping back and they go, you know what, fasted cardio in the morning is a way for me to go outside and to get more steps, and I can do it quite comfortably, or it's a way to increase my activity levels. And then with on top of that, I'm going to eat this really good balanced diet where I'm getting all these different macronutrients, good variety of different colored fruit and veg, drinking all my water, and I'm going to pull up just short, and I'm going to use that little extra 10% from that walk in the morning before I have anything to just dip me into that, you know, mild little deficit, and that's going to help me get out. I go, that's awesome. That's great that you can do that, but only because you stepped back and you looked at the totality of it. You've still nourished your body properly. You've put all the right nutrients in, and you've been able to recognize what fasted cardio is and the purpose that it's playing in your overall plan. You get a lot of problems when guys don't do that. And like you said, Loz, they just narrow in on it and they go, you know what? I'm just going to not really pay attention to the diet or whatever other training and lifestyle factors and everything else. I'm just going to hammer hard on this fasted cardio because that's what burns fat. That's completely wrong and not the way you should be going about it.
Awesome summary. Yeah, and I think that's a good kind of segue into the pros and cons of fasted cardio, because we're not here to crap on fasted cardio. As we've both mentioned, there's definitely a time and place for it, and there are some good things, but I alluded to it earlier in terms of one of the pros of fasted cardio is that there are those individuals that just simply can't tolerate or don't enjoy eating in the morning. So fasted cardio is an accessible way for people to get out and get their exercise in, because if eating in the morning is a barrier to them exercising, they're going to be unlikely to do it. So if you think about it, okay, if someone can get up, just have a drink of water, go straight out for a run, that's awesome. Whereas if, say, you know, oh, I've got to have my bowl of oatmeal, I've got to have a banana, then that makes me feel sick, and then I don't exercise, then it kind of becomes a bit of a barrier to exercise and to health and fitness. So I think one pro is definitely, you know, it does work for some people. Of course, as we've mentioned, yes, it can increase fat oxidation at lower intensities. And to be honest, Jordy, I don't really know of too many other pros. Do you have any other pros to slot in there?
Yeah, not really, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, I think so. So I think, you know, in terms of, yes, we've acknowledged the good, but the cons of fasted cardio, which again, we did mention at the beginning, is, okay, what are your goals here? Are your goals just to get out, get some steps in the morning? Or are you training for an ultra marathon? Are you training to be, you know, a weightlifter at the Olympic Games? Are you just training to literally get better and to have adaptations from your training? Fasted cardio probably isn't for you. I think if you're training fasted, especially for longer than, say, 60 minutes, you know, we always encourage intra-training carbs, but regardless, you're just depriving yourself of nutrients and fuel to be able to, one, perform during that session, and two, have the adaptations that come with doing that exercise stimulus as well. Apart from the fact of, you know, possibly risk of injury if you don't have enough kind of food on board, or maybe not hydrated. Imagine getting dehydrated because you didn't want to drink in the morning because it thought it would ruin your fast. Those types of things in terms of performance. And I think as well, the look, we can come back to it when you have your point. But I think as well, just mentioning that another con of fasted cardio, I think, is just, you know, the false perception of health, or this false perception it gives people that they're burning fat, and then kind of resulting in disappointment in terms of, oh, why am I doing this fat burning exercise but not losing fat? So again, you know, a con of it is the misinformation and the education, but I think it can give people a false perception of what is health, or what is a health or fat burning activity. And as well, I think a placebo effect in a way, or the mental side of, you know, going into a training session without having any food on board. I've mentioned it before, I never feel like I'm going to have a very good session because I know I didn't put the fuel in the tank. So the mental side as well. And obviously food and fluid play a huge role in our cognition and our mental performance. So if you're going into a session, whether it's short or long, but you want to perform, it's not just about the physical performance. It's also about, okay, can I make quick decisions? Am I thinking straight? Am I feeling dizzy because I've got nothing on board? Am I having a, you know, a hypo moment? My blood sugar levels have dropped through the roof, or something like that. You know, it's not just, okay, I'm not eating, you know, yes, okay, maybe you're just doing a really quick run. You might not actually need the nutrients, but maybe mentally you need the nutrients to actually go and have a good session.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think the only thing I'll add to the pros, and then I'll add to the cons, I'm always skeptical to add this into the pros because there's a lot of nuance to it. There is some evidence to suggest that there is better whole body glucose tolerance when you do fasted cardio, and that can be useful for certain clinical populations, such as diabetics. I say that because a lot of people will take that out of context and say, oh, that's better for my glucose tolerance, and then we'll get all the insulin warriors and everyone else, and they'll go out. If you're a type 2 diabetic, then yeah, that's probably a conversation that's worth having. Outside of that, I agree with Loz, not too many other pros outside of it. The other con, the massive con that I'll say, just from a training perspective, and I've spoken about this on the podcast before, I can very easily go out and run 30 kilometers with no food or drink. Like, I'm conditioned enough to be able to do that. Do I do that? No, I don't do it because I going out there and doing that fasted, although you can get through and you can have an okay session doing it, yes, you lose all the adaptations and everything else that Loz was talking about, you also drill bad habits into yourself. And when you do sports such as endurance sports, or you do anything over 60 minutes, even if you're doing combat sports where you're wrestling other people, you want to get in a good habit of being able to get intra-workout nutrition in. And when you do these fasted sessions, you're sacrificing that. And a lot of people get very obsessed with these ideas of, I need to do fasted cardio to lose this fat. The more I do, the more fat I'm going to lose. What you're really doing, and the biggest problem for me, is that you're losing out opportunity to train your body to get good at intra-training nutrition. So all of a sudden you've got this person who's out every morning running, and instead of practicing getting their fluids in every 15 minutes and getting their carbohydrates in every 20 minutes, they've just gone 2-3 hours without anything. And then, yeah, they're getting all these adaptations and whatever, but then you go put them in a race and they've got a terribly trained gut, and then they try to hydrate and they try to get these carbs in, and they're not used to it, and they're sitting there wondering why. And it's because you've just missed all of these opportunities to train your gut and train your intra-training nutrition. So that's a massive, massive one that people don't talk about as well.
That's a huge one. Yeah. And again, it comes back to, okay, performance. You know, these people that are doing endurance events, or, you know, are fighting for their upcoming event, you know, they're not doing it with the intention of just getting by. You know, they want to do a good job. So by kind of, you know, putting yourself on the back end during training, you're not helping yourself come race day or comp day or whatever it is that you're doing. So I think, yeah, that's a really great con that so many people wouldn't consider, because I think even until, you know, we spoke about it before, obviously, yes, I'm so aware of training your nutrition during training. But when you think about, yeah, fasted cardio, oh dear, that also means, you know, doing your exercise faster, not just the immediate time before. So yeah, for anyone out there that's listening and that is you, maybe you've been doing longer runs thinking you can get by without eating or drinking, you know, maybe reconsider it, give yourself a go, like let yourself have something to eat before and or during your training and see how you go, because honestly how you feel and your performance is going to speak for itself and probably help you make up your mind as to whether or not fasted cardio is going to be good for you moving forward.
Yeah, the very last thing I will say, and I don't like using this because I don't think you need to equate the food that you eat with exercise calories that you need to burn or anything like that. But a big driving force for a lot of people for fasted cardio is, oh, you know, I'm going to help me burn more calories or get me in the deficit, whatever. The thing is, if you do that exercise fed, you're probably going to be able to work out at a better intensity. You're probably going to be able to work out longer, and you're going to get an overall greater calorie burn anyway from that exercise. So people need to be really mindful of that. If you're doing, say, like a HIIT session and you're going in fasted and you're kind of just half-assing it, and you're doing it like 40, 50%, you're going to burn way less calories than if you're actually fed properly and then you go in there and you go at 80, 90, 95%.
Yeah, I have this conversation with so many clients that, you know, you shouldn't fear having more food on board, because ultimately when you have the food there, you have the energy to train harder, train faster, train for longer. As a result, yes, of course, you're going to probably train better, but you're going to burn that energy anyway because you're going hard, you know, you're going for longer. So it's not necessarily, oh no, I'm eating too much. It's like, okay, well, I've got the fuel on board to actually use this energy now and expend it in a way. So yeah, it's right. We never say you need to earn your calories at all. That's definitely not what we're saying, but people do associate the two. And personally, I find if I ever exercise fasted, I'm so hungry later in the day that whatever I just did would totally have been defeated by the two breakfasts that I had to make up for the one that I didn't have before training. And I think in summary, you know, if you are someone that still wants to do fasted cardio, or you've listened to this and thought, okay, you know what, I'm going to do what Jordy and Lauren said, I'm going to step back, reevaluate everything and see where fasted cardio fits in my lifestyle, I would say, one, if you're doing the fasted cardio, make sure the sessions that you're doing are at a lower intensity so that you're technically oxidizing fat and burning fat. Don't go for a 5 kilometer run, PB sprint, you know, with your mates. That's not the type of exercise you want to be doing fasted. And also, if fat and or weight loss is your goal, make sure you're in a calorie deficit. Whether you do that yourself or you get a dietitian or nutritionist to help you with that. If those two things aren't in order, I dare say you may as well have a banana before you train in the morning.
I think that's a pretty good spot to leave that. All right, Loz, until next time.
Awesome. Thank you, Jordy.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. If you like this episode and you enjoy our content, then you'll absolutely love our new TFD Performance Hub. Our first course on the Hub is the Performance Nutrition for BJJ course, which is perfect for grapplers looking to master their nutrition. And if you follow the link in the description, you can even snag 40% off that course. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @_fightdietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episodes. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.